We've got, Nikki just brought to my attention, there was one other person. What's the name? Helen Henderson was on our list initially. Oh, she just signed up. Okay. Helen, are you here? Come on up, please. Is this on the tax issue?
No.
Okay. We'll catch you later then. I'd like to make a couple of comments on the tax issue, if I could, please. I had a couple of folks come up and speak to me during the break. Mr. Bauer would like to have talked again, and I did not allow him. We had our sign-up sheet, and intense issue, I guess you could say it that way, and I felt like it was important that we bring that to a stop from the sign-up sheet. Another person came up and asked about the tax issue. Where does it go from here? James and Danny have both made a few comments. I'm going to make a couple of comments towards that. The way our system works, the assessor in the county's responsibility is to assess, and he made a point or two about that, our properties at the fair market value. In other words, in a non-pressured situation where one person that's wanting to sell and another person that's interested in buying, what that price would be. That's the fair market value. And that's the rules that the assessor is supposed to follow. He's supposed to assess property equally and at the fair market value. As has happened this year, these large increases, many people have gone and talked to the assessor, and as was commented, there were some that were actually lowered, that he lowered his original assessment. If that action does not satisfy what you think is right, you have the opportunity, the taxpayer has an opportunity, to make an appeal to the Board of Equalization. And Patsy, the first lady to speak, mentioned that the commission is a part of the Board of Equalization. Lariat works, the three county commissioners appoint two other folks, regular citizens, to sit on that Board of Equalization. If you're unhappy with what the assessor's done, you can appeal. Mr. Strahan mentioned Mr. Johnston. He brought appraisal. Anyway, he brought information, and he appealed his appraisal, and it was adjusted. And there's been many others adjusted, and we've been working on it. Donna Neely's our county clerk since about the 14th of June or something like that.
Moved it forward 2 weeks, Chuck, so we could.
Anyhow, it's about a six-week process, give or take. And that process will end July 31st, Friday. So it's too late to make an appeal. There's the deadline of the 13th. You have to go through the process, and it's kind of like today, you run out of time, you run out of time. But anyhow, there's been many, many appeals. I couldn't make a guess of how many. But the county commission and those two citizens have been sitting through those appeals. Ms. Horner was one of those, and there may be some others here that came and made their appeals. Yes, ma'am. We had about 1,300 appeals. Some of those were big groups that we heard all at once, or we'd be here a terribly long time. But anyhow, that process is going to end the 31st, and that's my answer to the question I was asked. The Board of Equalization, the way I understand the law, has the same responsibility as the assessor, as well as the State Tax Commission that you've heard a lot about. We have the same responsibility, and that is to equalize and to adjust to fair market value. If we think the assessor is too high or too low, we have the same responsibility that he does originally to make those adjustments, and that's what we've tried to do. And it's difficult. Again, back to what James said about an appraisal. If you get a certified appraiser, to do an appraisal and bring that to us, very seldom will he the assessor, I'm sorry, let me back up. Donna Neely is our clerk. The assessor is also a part of that commission, or that board of equal, the board of equalization. He's not a voting member, but he puts in input of why he thinks his appraisals are right, or sometimes he even says, I'm in favor of lowering that. That wasn't right, and we need to lower those. So, I lost my thought. That's terrible.
You were talking about if they bring in appraisals, very seldom does, and then you went on to something else.
So, the process is you bring in an appraisal, and you got a real good chance of getting it changed. Anyhow, that's where we're at. We found as we've gone through the process that there's a lot of condominiums. James said 3,500 were raised in the county. We also found that a lot of vacant lots as well as subdivision lots. Now, I've got a stack here of the 15,000 increases that were put out this year. I have to say myself that it appears that there's certain areas targeted in the increase. I asked James, how come could we go up this large a percentage? Why did these condominiums go up 40, 50, 60% this year? And I still yet don't have a good answer for that. So I understand your comments. The State Tax Commission that we've been involved with, I apologize for going on long, hadn't planned this, but has been pressuring us, has withheld our reimbursements for funding the assessment office, and they are pressuring, in my opinion, they're pressuring James, pretty well a given, to raise assessments. He thinks he's low in some areas. And to raise these very limited areas doesn't seem right to me. James has picked what areas, I think. I don't think the State Tax Commission has picked out and told him you need to raise condos or need to raise lots. I think that's been his decision, and he's standing on that decision, as we've heard. Again, I apologize for going too long. The process will be over. The only other option that you have is if you did appeal, you can go to the circuit court, right, Bob?
Oh, State Tax Commission after BOP.
I'm sorry. You can appeal to the State Tax Commission first, absolutely. They come to Taney County, possibly this very room. You don't have to have an attorney. Nothing special has to be done. It's a similar meeting just as you have at the Board of Equalization, and they'll hear your case, and they can raise you or lower you or leave you the same. After that, then, you can appeal to the State Tax Commission. But if you haven't appealed, the way the law reads, if you haven't appealed now already, then that opportunity is not there. But those that have appealed have that opportunity yet before you. So, again, I apologize, Mel, and anybody else that had spoke and wanting to speak again. We're moving on 10 o'clock, and we got some other issues. So you're welcome to stay.
I had a one-minute deal.
Go.
When you come to meet with the State Tax Commission, there's only one person usually from the State Tax Commission that you meet and sit across the table from, and that person helps you make your adjustment either higher, lower, or the same. So that's a very easy process. The argument with the State Tax Commission, which has been longstanding, whenever I told them that if they raised the taxes to what they wanted to raise them on the Taney County citizens, that the property sales for tax would be lined up from the courthouse to Swan Creek, they said that was none of their interest. So you have to realize what we're trying to deal with on that level. So that's all I had to say. I just wanted to let you know that whenever you come before the State Tax Commission, it's not a formal hearing of five people. It's very informal with our attorney sits there, James sits there, the State Tax Commission, and yourself, and it's a simple deal. So that's all I wanted to say on that, just to help.
Okay, I'll add 1 minute too. Again, my opinion, the assessments that the counties received this year has been done by the county assessor, period. The assessments that we've received are from the county assessor. They're not from the State Tax Commission. I have no information whatsoever that the State Tax Commission has said you need to raise these certain properties. James made that decision. Again, I don't understand how property values could go up 40, 50, 60% from one year to the next. Jimmy? The sheriff, he
Chuck, pulls you back. Had said that the process is fixing to end July 31st. Now, can they come back in front of the Board of Equalization at a later date, or is this the only time that they can?
It's a two-year process, and every 2 years the assessor is charged with reassessing properties. If they've gone up in value, he brings them up. If they've gone down in value, he brings them down. And by law, it's every 2 years, so the next applicable date would be January 1st of 2011, the value at that time, and that summer they could appeal to the BOE.
Okay.
Thanks for asking that, Jimmy. The agreement that's been in the news a lot that James signed on July 1st and then the County Commission did recently that's got the process going that supposedly they're going to start paying us again. In that agreement, it mentions that there's a possibility that there's going to be, with the state coming down and James allowing them in, that there may be a reassessment for 2010, which is not the normal procedure, which is, I think, well, I'll leave that one go. But anyhow, as Bob said, normally it's every other year there's a reassessment, but because of the situation, them coming down, there may be another assessment. Am I saying that right, Bob? Do you understand him?
Yeah, I'll just
read it to us, would you?
By the way, for those of you who didn't hear, the County Commission, the assessor, went ahead and signed the July 1st to December 31st partial assessment maintenance plan. But prior to that going up there, there was actually a decision finally of the Administrative Hearing Commission approving a plan, and it was the two-year plan that the State Tax Commission
Pop your mic, would you? Danny? Or do you have a mic? Is it not? Get closer to it. They're saying they can't hear you out there.
The two-year assessment maintenance plan that the State Tax Commission sent to the Administrative Hearing Commission is the one that was approved. And going to the partial agreement, it talks about duties and responsibilities, and there's nine paragraphs. And it basically says the assessor will work with the State Tax Commission to develop a 2010-2011 assessment maintenance plan that will fulfill the mission statement previously set forth. So that would be the new two-year cycle. The assessor will ensure ownership and mapping records are updated. That's something he does anyway. The new construction review will be completed to ensure the 2010 assessments reflect any improvements completed during 2009. They always go out and look for new construction and put those on the rolls. So, sales ratio studies will be completed on a quarterly basis, and they go into that a little bit. The assessor, with the assistance of the State Tax Commission, will complete an index study and a depreciation study. The assessor will apply the approved index and depreciation guidelines to ensure values reflect market value. The assessor, with the assistance of the State Tax Commission, will complete an analysis of the residential and commercial land values. The assessor will adjust land values in Taney County based upon the analysis to ensure land values reflect market value. Number seven, the assessor will promptly provide the State Tax Commission upon request, but not less than once every quarter, an electronic copy of the assessor's appraisal database. Number eight, the assessor will remove inappropriate shape and design factors and assign the correct honeycut grade. And then number nine, I think, is what Chuck was referring to. The assessor shall complete a parcel-by-parcel review and establish appropriate values based upon the review. If the State Tax Commission determines that a change to such values is required in 2010, then the State Tax Commission will issue a written order directing the assessor to take such action, and the assessor will place those appropriate values on the assessment rolls by July 1st, 2010. So if after the parcel-by-parcel review is completed, the State Tax Commission thinks that we need a change in values for 2010, even though that's not the normal procedure. If they find that, they will say that we need to have a reassessment in 2010 and change the values, which isn't usually done for 2010.
Thank you, Bob. One thing you mentioned was an index, and if you look at your tax bill 2 years ago, James changed the index from a 1.9 to a 2.02. If you look at your tax bill, if you had a structure, it wasn't on vacant land, but any kind of homes or businesses, when he changed that index, it raised the value of all the structures in the county by approximately 6%. Bob mentioned that in the deal. I guess that's it.
Well, just one other thing, and one of the reasons that it's been such a difficult, and it is a complex formula, it is a complex situation, but one of the main things that you have to understand is when you look at your tax bill, as Chuck said, the 1.9, the 2.02, the satisfaction of the state is a 2.60. Right?
I believe that's correct at the present time. At one time, it was 2.3.
Actually, at the last meeting we had with the State Tax Commission, they were talking about an index was not the answer to what they felt the problem was.
That's perfect. They said that the index wasn't the answer when all along they said that they wanted him to raise it to a certain level. And then, after we went to court, we got a letter saying if he would raise it to a 2.12, they might be satisfied, when they told us at the trial that the index factor wouldn't make a difference. So it's very complex for us to understand what they want. It's very complex for James to understand what they want to be in compliance. So I've been to every meeting. I've sat and the BOE meetings and listened to the arguments. I've looked at the evidence just as every member of the board has, and it's a very, very difficult decision. So anyway, we're going to move on to the next because we've got some heated issues in the other areas.
Okay. Next on our agenda is racetrack issue. And we had some folks come a week ago, Mr. Goldsworthy and another one or two, Dorothy Price. If y'all want to come up front on the racetrack issue, we'll take a stab at that. It's going to be pretty short to my understanding. Planning and zoning, some long time back, approved a project north of Branson to call it a multi-use facility. Included on that is a racetrack, which was the hot button, you might say, on that issue. And it was approved. Won't go into long, probably couldn't tell you the whole process, but anyhow, it's now in litigation. Bob, for those that don't know, the fellow that's helping me out here now and then is Mr. Paulson. He's our county attorney. So how do we stand as far as the legal part of that and what we can talk about and this and that?
There was an appeal to the Board of Adjustment, which is different than the Board of Equalization. It gets real confusing sometimes. So after BOA...
Wait a minute. I don't want the attorney answer. I want the short answer. What can we talk about? Sorry about that. If you went with us every day, you'd understand that a little bit better. There was a little humor there.
After the BOA, it was appealed to Circuit Court. And Circuit Court, the case is currently pending. And, it's a matter of litigation that's currently before the Circuit Court of Taney County and really shouldn't be discussed what the issues are, at least not to commit to anything. I mean, we're in litigation. We're not going to negotiate the litigation here
right
in the open, I wouldn't think.
If the county commission wanted to do this or that, do we have an opportunity at this time to do any changing? I mean, except our own feelings on whether it's a good project or it's not.
Not under our bylaws. I mean, obviously, the planning and zoning situation you can weigh in on, and you should. You've heard me talk about it being a legislative process. The Board of Adjustment, you have it set up so that if they believe that there's been some sort of error of law in how the administrative person has acted or the planning and zoning has acted, that they have an appeal to the Board of Adjustment. Board of Adjustment has said there was no error of law and upheld the decision of planning and zoning. And now it's in court, and that's where it's being fought. And now you've got people coming to you wanting you to undo what planning and zoning has done, what the Board of Adjustment has done on the appeal. And I mean, that's not something that's available to you under the bylaws or under your code that this body passed. But, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just saying that it wouldn't be appropriate given that it's in circuit court.
But if the county commission voted unanimous to do X, Y, Z, can we do anything right now while it's in court?
You would have, I believe you'd have to change your code.
At this way it's set up now, we could.
Yeah.
Okay. Comments, Danny?
That's exactly what's wrong with the system, is whenever you have concerns from citizens that live in the area, and it is a very hot-button issue, and you have three elected officials that are, which has already been explained here today, that you elect to make the decisions of the county, and we have a code that doesn't allow us to take the some procedure to either go forward or stop the project.
When you do a zoning change, it should be a legislative process. That was part of the Stone County lawsuit. And that's one of the amendments that I have proposed to you concerning the code, so that anytime there is an approval of a zoning change by the Planning and Zoning Board, that you would sign off on it. That has not been done yet, and obviously, if that were there, and it should be there, then you would be able to say yes or no to a zoning change. So you could have said no to this zoning change had you had that in effect, and you should have it in effect. But the Board of Adjustment is a quasi-judicial body, and really you shouldn't get involved in their decisions. The appeal is to circuit court. So, I mean, you can correct that problem and should correct that problem.
Okay. I've heard Tom and those that speak in our planning and zoning. If you want to share your points, the opportunity's here. I've heard him before, and it doesn't sound like we can really do anything at this point. But, Tom, you want to go first? See you getting up.
Yep. Tom Goldsworthy, Victor Church Road. One of my key points is the fact that planning and zoning entered into an agreement illegally with the property owners on the issue of, and it's real simple, there is no zoning law, but yet this private contractor in zoning said, okay, we're going to make the noise issue at this level. That never went in front of anybody other than them. Who's going to get the money? We don't know. Who's going to make them pay if they decide that they did break? And the fact that they're putting out the sound testing equipment, who's the money going to? And nobody can answer those. Whose back pocket is that money going into? Is what it boils down to. And since when does a group of individuals just decide that they're going to change something that's not a law in this in the county to start off with, that the people didn't have a say-so on? And to bring in twice over 300 names, and again, it goes back to, we went around door to door to get names. We didn't stand on a street corner or Walmart and just have people sign petitions. Over 300 people twice said, no, we don't want it. But it was like we weren't heard. And there's people off of P&Z that actually admitted to me, to my face, that, oh, well, we thought you were joking. No, this isn't a joking matter. I don't come here to joke or to play games. It's plain and simple. You do something illegal, your hand gets slapped. Or somebody's getting money put in their back pockets. something's going on, because the same individuals can walk out of here today and you're going to see things in the newspaper, just like in the past, of in his behalf, oh yeah, we're going on with the racetrack, it's a done deal, and it's not a done deal.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Who's next on racetrack?
On racetrack?
Yeah.
No.
This lady here.
Dorothy. Dorothy, right?
I think I was under you.
Uh-oh, okay. Welcome, young lady.
Okay. Good morning.
Morning.
I've never addressed the commission. I realize these are just comments that have really no bearing. Each time this issue came up, I've written letters, I've attended meetings, I've been ignored. I live at 416 South Emery Creek Lane. I have lived there 28 years. It's in the valley, Emery Creek around it. I adjoin the Emery Creek Bed and Breakfast property.
And where you are?
We both gave access for the construction of the new Taney County Bridge when it was built. Okay. My main feeling, like I say, we've done what we thought we could legally, yet we've been ignored. Things from Missouri Conservation discussing the crayfish in Emery Creek that's imperiled, ignored. There wasn't proper study of primary, secondary impact of what this will do to the area. We're losing natural resources. I think effluent is supposed to filter through Emery Creek. Noise, dust, lights, stormwater runoff, traffic. These issues were not properly addressed, yet it was shoved through. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Can we address those?
Certainly.
Oh, it is up for discussion today.
Well, sure, it's not public comment. I understand exactly where you're coming from, Mrs. Price. It's confusing to me when we have appointed bodies in the county that hear these cases and then make decisions that everybody that is appointed to a position on planning and zoning, board of adjustment, and those very important positions, sewer board, those positions, those people take their time and volunteer to do a service for the county. But it is hard for the person that lives in an area to understand how a vote can come down 9-0 or 8-1, and then the very next meeting that they have, the vote comes down 4-3 with somebody abstaining so that it can pass, or some odd thing out of the clear blue sky for no reason at all, with no explanation of why they changed their mind. Now, I've sat in the planning and zoning meetings on two or three different occasions when they all voted against something, and the next meeting, when the numbers were right, it passed. So, as Mr. Paulson brought forward in the fact that it should be approved by the county commissioners, which, you know, we take a lot of heat for everything. We take a lot of heat for the heat. We take a lot of heat if it don't rain. We take a lot of heat for every issue that comes up in the county, whether it has anything to do with us or not. But there are certain things that the citizen should be heard. As she said, she wrote the paper. They had just as big a crowds here on those issues as they had today on the tax issue. But they weren't heard or weren't addressed. So those things that I think that should be questioned, I would like to see our, I don't know whether Bob's calling it an ordinance, law, or whatever, the commission should have to sign off on those very subjects that are brought before, because we're the ones that ended up taking the blast for it.
Zoning changes, legislative act, and you should be signing off on it.
Okay, anybody else on racetrack want to speak? Young lady?
I haven't talked before, but it's a real personal thing to me. My mother, or my grandmother, and my grandfather lived on Victor Church Road, and for many years. My mom and dad had to move twice for 65. My uncle had to move for that too. Cousins lost land and houses for the high road. Understand the sewer is coming up through our property now too. We didn't flood until this last time when he had cleaned off all the hillside there, but this time it went over by about 2 feet on top of that bridge in Amherst Creek. And I, on that land, actually cut the wood, cut the trees, picked up rocks to get it to the point it is now. We now have 11 people living in our area, and 2 have moved out because of the racetrack noise. And when the racetrack, they did the noise study, it was on level land. I can tell you that they can hear that probably all the way to Rockaway Beach, up and down those valleys, because it just, the noise just resonates through there. And that's a real point for me too. But I just thank you for listening.
Yes, ma'am.
I really like the serenity of where I live, and I would still want to be there.
Okay. Who else on the racetrack? Yes, sir.
Morning. My name is Jim Hutz. I live on Point Road, off of Airport Road. It's also off of Victor Church, you know, and I'd just like to comment about this racetrack. I think the location is just all totally wrong. You're putting it right in the middle of a residential neighborhood. You know, I'm a disabled vet, you know, and I have heart problems. And, you know, every time I hear this, I start to have more heart problems. Right now, my heart is racing because I get so upset over this. And I'm sure I'm talking for a lot of other people who really get upset. They don't want this racetrack. We don't want it. We've proved it before. Over 300 people, like Mr. Goldsworthy has said, you know, we have had over 300 people. What has happened to a lot of those signatures? A lot of those people can't come here and be here in person because they're, you know, they're working. I'm disabled, so I'm able to come here all the time and be a spokesman for some of these people. But I'm going to ask you, Mr. Pell, straight out, would you like that in your neighborhood, in your backyard, 3,000 feet from your house?
No, probably not.
Well, thank you for your honest answer. I also like to say, you know, that I can hear 65 traffic, and that's not level ground. That's all hills and valleys in between where I live. I can hear 65. It is not objectionable. But you put race cars on there, and it's going to make a big difference. The quality of life in that area is not going to be what it is now. All of us moved out there because we wanted a peace and quiet. Otherwise, you know, we would have stayed where we were. We would have moved into downtown Branson or other major cities. We don't want it. What does it take for people to understand? We want no racetrack. You know, then you got other deals. You got stormwater to run, you know, to deal with. You also have, you know, the peace and quiet of the area. What are the hours? Has anybody looked into the hours of this racetrack? Is it going to start at 8 o'clock at night and finish at 2:30 in the morning? where, you know, some of us sleep with our windows open and we got to listen to that all night? I mean, there's a whole bunch of issues here. I mean, a lot of them. And I, for one, am not really happy about what has been going on with this. Also, I'll let you know that I deal a lot with DNR. We're just about on a first-name basis. And this developer has been cited several times for non-compliance. I mean, he goes up there, he fixes something, then he's part of it, but he doesn't fix all of it. And then another part, you know, needs it. And DNR's got to come out again, and again, and again, and again. And I know this because I get records from DNR. They send them to me. And this is going to continue to happen. Also, about the noise ordinance, who sets that? Who sets the level of it? Why can't we have a noise ordinance like Kimberling City, enact a noise ordinance?
We could.
Why don't we?
It'd be a big job, but we could do it.
Why don't we? I mean, you're not only going to stop the racetrack noise, you're going to stop some of the big semis. And not that I'm against semis, because I used to be a professional truck driver too. But you're going to stop a lot of them with your Jake brakes. You're going to stop a lot of your Harleys with the straight pipes. And I'm sure, I'm not against trucking, I'm not against motorcycles, I'm not against the racetrack. It's just that the location is wrong. It's just 100% wrong.
Okay.
This is all I have to say.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
You brought up a good issue there a while ago whenever you was talking about that. You know, when this was presented to Planning and Zoning the first night that I was here, there was an acceptance agreement, and I think that was one of the tough things for Planning and Zoning that night to study and make a decision on, because the developer himself said it was all or nothing. I want every one of the issues that I want, or I don't want you to pass it. Well, and I can't remember whether the vote was 8-1 or 9-0. I can't remember that part of it. But I can tell you that when they came back in a couple of weeks or so, there was none of the questions answered that I know of. I couldn't see that there had been any change, but there was a passing of the issue. Now, one of the things that really concerned me is the lady got up and spoke about the flood damage, that the water went over the bridge for the first time. Well, there was a dam proposed on this site. If there was an all-or-nothing situation, and there's a dam proposed on this site, and we just got through with a reservoir break in the northern part of the state, which DNR came down on hard, then I can't understand why there wasn't more study done on the dam. There's certain things. I do not make those decisions because I don't set on planning and zoning, but I can tell you that if an ordinance or a law is passed, that the county commission has the opportunity to vote on such a thing, I will not vote in a direction that doesn't explain all or nothing.
Is there any others on the racetrack issue? Tom, you got something short?
Real short. It was 8-1 that night. Against not having it, and the flooding situation in the dam, that was done without a permit. No permit was drawn to do that. As far as I know, it still has not been drawn. And the Corps of Engineers, all the way up to Little Rock, know about it. And the commissioners knew that that had been built without him drawing a permit.
Okay. BOA decision, T10. You got a direction, Danny, you want to start?
Do we have any speakers here on that?
We've got three or four, I think, at least.
Yeah, I've got a direction I want to start. I want to ask a question.
Okay.
And I think that we, of course, I guess that's one thing you get if you put your $50 in to run for commissioner, you get to save your opinion. The thing of it is we, throughout the county, since I've been here and before I was here, I believe since Mr. Pennell has even been here, we've never allowed a road easement to be allowed less than 40 feet. When this road easement that is allowed now is 32 feet, makes it hard for me to understand how a board, appointed board, can go against the regulations that the county has set forth. And I think you were present at that meeting, weren't you, Mr. Pennell?
At which meeting?
At the BOA meeting where the 32-foot was.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Okay. So that's my question, is how, if we've never done it before, in his service of time here and my service of time here, then how it was allowed in a Board of Adjustment meeting.
I wished you would have been there, because there was some statements made last week that there wasn't any opportunity for folks to speak, and that wasn't right, because there was quite a few comments from Mr. Grady. He spoke two or three times, and then Larry Gardner, the surveyor, put up the surveyor a number of times, and then, of course, Randy and Alzora and whoever else spoke. So there was quite a bit of conversation on both sides of that issue. Josh, you jumping, ready to go?
Yeah, I was here last week.
Okay.
Presented that petition request. I was just back to see what the commission decided, if you guys had approved it, and if it was going to be when I could have that in writing.
I've not seen the petition, Josh.
He handed a copy to me.
I know, but I haven't seen it. My understanding was it was a petition to do away with planning and zoning?
Correct. Per the statute. I just wanted to know if it was of the right form, and I believe I asked that specifically to have that in writing from the...
First off, not to be wise or anything, I give legal advice to the county commission and to the county clerk.
And I asked Bob, I asked the commission to put that in, I asked the commission just in simple writing to say, yes, if this was brought back before them, signed and completed, they would accept it. That's all I...
It would be up to the county clerk, actually, to in the Secretary of State's office to... determine whether the petition met the requirements of a valid petition. I did look at it. It looked fine to me on the surface. I mean, it doesn't have in the statute any specific language that needs to be in the petition. If you reflect the statutory language that has to be on the ballot, I think you'd be fine. But you need to follow, in getting the signatures, all the requirements of the statute. But the petition looked fine to me, but again, unless one of these bodies asked me to do that, I mean, everybody could come up to the microphone and ask me to do something, and
no, I was asking. I was just asking.
I'm sorry, Josh. Bob did mention it in our meeting with him later, and made a comment that if the petition, the way he understood it, to do away with planning and zoning. And maybe I misunderstood, but I assumed you were here somewhat on the road issue also. That would...
And I am.
You are? Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask that got reviewed.
Bob's point to us was that if your petition went through, it was successful, Stone County's looking at it next month.
That's correct.
And planning and zoning was canceled by the voters of the county.
Correct.
Then you wouldn't have y'all wouldn't have an axe to grind. Everybody would be free to do racetracks or whatever they wanted whenever on their property.
That's correct.
And what I understood, Bob, that would be against what you're... The
second issue is that you're going to talk about.
The second, the road issue, if you canceled, if you did away with planning and zoning, then you would have no axe to grind, so to speak, on whether the road is this, that, or the other. So if you want to do the petition from what Bob's saying, go ahead and do it and turn it into the clerk. I mean, that's your choice to make.
I don't think it's a matter of the county commission to take and give you voice and opinion on whether we think your petition is valid or not. That is the clerk's job and an attorney. And I don't know whether it's our attorney or whoever, but it's when you come before the county commission and ask us if your petition is valid, that's actually not for us to make a judgment on.
Actually, what the state suggested to me is that I bring it before you to make sure that it was in the format that you would accept when I bring it back before you signed, because it has to be the way that they told me that we understood it have to be brought back before the commission.
It would have to be something that the Secretary of State and the county clerk. Am I right, Bob?
Yeah, and I'm going to look at the statute again. It may be that they petition the governing body to put it on the ballot, and the governing body has to decide whether the requirements have been met. But most election issues, of course, the clerk has something to do with saying whether it's adequate to be on the ballot, and maybe Donna can speak some more on it.
Well, I have talked to the state in the past regarding petitions, and according to the law, there is not a formal petition for local governments. They recommend that we follow their procedure for petitions, and that's what I've always asked, so that we can stay uniform. It does get submitted to my office, and then I take it to the commission to be voted on whether they, well, of course, if you get enough signatures, it does require it to go before the ballot, on the ballot, and I have looked at the statute, so if he wants me to look at the petition, I'm happy to do that.
It looked pretty good on the surface, but I'm not giving an illegal opinion until I'm asked.
To answer his question, though, he's asking the county commission, we don't have anything until you bring a petition that is valid before us for us to vote on. I mean, you could ask us if this petition looked fine, but if it doesn't have the proper signatures, they haven't been validated with the addresses. I mean, it's nothing for the county commission.
The format was my...
That's something that you have to take care of in another, not before the commission.
Okay. Back to the T10 issue.
Yep.
I wasn't present at the meeting that night, but Danny brought up a good point when he spoke how the issue of 40 foot was already in place before the meeting, and yet those guys sat there knowing that and voted to give that man a 32 foot variance. And it's my understanding that he has another access across the lake that he can come in from, and he can meet the new standards that you guys just adopted a couple weeks ago by coming off that access. And it's not the landowner's problem over there, where he sold all of his right-of-ways in on the T10 side, number one. Number two, to give a man a variance for 30, that's crazy right there. Danny knows how tight it is down there. You guys just spent how much money redoing that road down there for us. And let me say, Frank, the guys did a good job on that road this time. They did a good job rebuilding it. And, you know, traffic-wise, I don't know what he's got planned. We've heard we're going to put in commercial development, we're going to put in houses, we're going to put in this. It's back and forth, and it's been a circus. It has been a complete circus with planning and zoning over this issue. And that's my point right now with the petition. Let's just get rid of them. If it's going to be this big of a circus on so many different issues, then we don't need them. Get rid of it. End it. Because nobody can get a straight answer. Nobody can get... It's a varying answer. One minute it's this, and nobody's on the same page. And I understand Danny has tried, and Danny has been very helpful, but, you know, there's no point. I mean, I've dealt with planning and zoning before, and it's nothing but a big happy meeting in here that nobody knows what's going on. And when you have guys that are appointed that don't follow the rules set forth by this commission, then what point is it? What point do we need to have them serving on a board if they can't follow the rules that the commission already set in place? Can somebody answer that?
Be glad to take a stab at it.
Go ahead, Chuck.
The variance that was given by the Board of Adjustment, they're the ones that have the authority to give a variance like that, was for a project to be done on that property, on Rex Grady's property. There's no project, as you understand, I think, been proposed. We don't know whether it's a house or
correct.
Gobs of houses or anything.
Correct.
No clue. The variance was simply that they could do that with this 32 foot. But the project itself will have to come through the regular planning and zoning process. And anybody, Randy, anybody, neighbors that don't like the process, maybe it's a house, probably wouldn't be any big deal, or two or three or something. But if it's something that the neighbors don't want, you're going to have the same process to go through. And there's been two projects talked about today that folks aren't happy with, clear as a bell. And I don't always agree with the planning and zoning department. Danny, Jim, and I appoint those people. But I do attend, if I'm in town, I attend that meeting. And I also attend the Board of Adjustment. And I got to say that for the most part, not all the time, but for the most part, I agree with their decisions.
Okay, now.
And what happened when the Board of Adjustment gave that variance, they said that whether it's Rex or he sells it or somebody else, has the variance for a 32 or 33 foot road to come through there. And I understand your gripe with that, but that's all they have. If they decide somebody buys the property or Rex decides to build condos out there, they have to come through the process, which is three meetings, to do that. And everybody that's interested, pro or con, has the opportunity to come forward. And before, let me jump just a minute. A subject that was on in the news quite strongly shortly ago was the Tiger Sanctuary out on 160. And there's a residential subdivision right across the highway. And many of those folks, like the racetrack, like this road issue, were most concerned about it. They didn't want their residential area becoming commercial. And they came and they voiced their opinion. And the Planning and Zoning Commission turned them down. They were not able to do that project. So now they're looking for a different place. I mean, it's been said the racetrack, not the right place. So they've gone looking for a different place. So, again, I don't agree every time, but those people, and Danny made comment, they get $40 to come here, and sometimes they make some pretty tough decisions, and they're trying to do good for everybody involved, and it's not easy. And there's many a time, today included, racetrack and 32 foot, that I'm glad I'm not sitting on that commission. Danny might want to, but I don't want to sit on that commission. Those guys are doing it just because they care about our community. And so anyhow, that's my point. I don't know if I answered your question, but that's all that BO decision did was it gave them the right to come and submit a project and get through that 32 foot road.
Okay. Point two, how can they sit there and give a variance when there's no road existing to begin with? Shouldn't there have to be a road there before?
No, I don't think so. Bob, help me.
Well, first of all, the Board of Adjustment, a variance, if there's a problem and they've acted illegally, certainly there's an appeal to circuit court, and you can say that they acted arbitrarily and capriciously or illegally and get their decision reversed, and that's the process. But you've come here and you're talking to them, but what they're asking for is an easement from the regular requirement of whether it be 40 foot under the code or 50 foot under the code to allow for a 32 foot public road that goes there, because they need that in order to do whatever project it is that they're going to propose. And they would be turned down immediately because they haven't met the code, so they need a variance in order to even propose the project. And that's why they ask for the variance. There's no assurance that they're going to get approval for their project, even though they've got the variance. And if the variance was, again, illegal or something that shouldn't have been given because it was arbitrary and capricious, it's not a privilege or a right. It's obviously, you have to show an economic hardship caused by the unique characteristics of the land in order to get the variance in the first place. So anybody that has a disagreement with the decision of the BOA can appeal to the circuit court, and you're appealing kind of to the county commission right now based upon the decision of BOA, but in the circuit court, you can certainly make that appeal, and that's where the process is. But anyway, we're hearing it today.
I go back to with what I agree with what Danny said at the very beginning. I mean, they knew from the beginning what the requirement was, and that was the minimum of 40. And I mean, I guess I'll go with what Danny's question is. That's the main question.
They just asked for a variance from the rules. I mean, that's a part of the rule. The law is that you can do that. The county commission, and I may be off here, but if a project was approved to use the 32 foot for an access, the county commission would not have to make it a county road. I mean, they could build the road in there, and they would have to come through the county commission in order to get it maintained by the county, whatever that's worth.
I understand his argument, and if he's right, then he needs to appeal it. Is basic. If he believes they can't do what they did as a matter of law, he needs to appeal it. The Board of Adjustment did what they did. Even if the county commission did approve legislative acts, rezonings, okay, variances would still go through the Board of Adjustment. That's where they're supposed to go. They're a quasi-judicial body, and anything they do is appealable to the circuit court, and they better have had evidence and the authority to do what they did, or they'll be reversed by the circuit court. And I understand what you're saying. You're saying that they don't have a right to reduce the requirement that's in the ordinance of a 40 or a 50-foot wide public road. But if they don't have that right, certainly the circuit court would find that way. But these gentlemen appoint the BOA. They don't tell them how to find. Now, they might not reappoint somebody if they're doing a very poor job, but they don't change the decisions of the BOA. It'd be the circuit court that did that.
Okay, we'll see. I'll let Randy and okay. Mrs. Hooker speak.
Who's next? Randy.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I'm here to talk, actually, about the same project. I feel at that 15th meeting, we really didn't have any rebuttal after Mr. Grady got to talk several times. When I got home that evening, on my doorstep, I had a letter from Mr. Grady, and it was stating he had another way to get into his property. He didn't need that variance. He did not want that variance if the adjacent landowners objected. In his handwriting, he showed me a map, marked out on the map where it was, and he signed it. And I have it in my presence. And I feel that if the gentleman's going to back up and come back on asking for a variance, which he really says he doesn't need if we object to it, then why is he going farther with this, trying to get this variance, when he has perfect access on the other side by Rusty Acres?
Well, I don't know, Randy. As you know, I was there.
He didn't bring that up at that time. Like I said, I found that on my doorstep when I got home.
The understanding that I heard, and I don't participate, I just sit and listen. It was the only way. I took it that it was the only way in. So you're bringing news to me. Josh, I guess, was the first one to bring it. But anyhow. So
his handwriting, his map.
If he's willing to bring it in somewhere else, do you have an issue?
And he signed it.
Did you Did you guys do a motion to reconsider?
I didn't know anything at that time.
There's a motion. Well, after the decision has mm-hmm. been made, and I don't have the code in front of me, okay, but mm-hmm. I think you've got like 7 days to file a motion to reconsider, or there's another motion, and one of them is based upon new evidence that wasn't reasonably available to you at the time of the meeting. And a perfect example of that is what you brought up, a letter that you received when you got home from the meeting. Mm-hmm. You would have not been able to discover that. I mean, it wasn't sent to you in time to... That would be new evidence, and that would be evidence of the fact that he did not need that variance that he was requesting. And if he didn't need the variance that he was requesting, then it would have been hard for him to make the standard for granting a variance. So that new evidence would be perfect in order to file one of these motions to reconsider, and you'd go back in front of the board and show them that evidence and see if they were willing to change their mind. But anything at the Board of Adjustment, again, is appealable to the Circuit Court if, again, there's no evidence for that supports the decision, or if the decision is arbitrary and capricious, the Circuit Court can overrule what they did, and that's why that system's set up that way.
Now, you're saying 7 days. So is that 7 days already gone past then?
When was the meeting?
The 15th?
I've lost track of it.
Today's what?
27th.
That's 10
probably,
days.
Probably has gone by. But
so we'd have to go to the Circuit Court then.
But
you might want to check with Planning and Zoning and just make sure you still don't have time to do a motion to reconsider.
Because also when I was down at the Planning and Zoning, I talked to a gentleman down here which was on the board at that time. He was explaining things to the board. And we was talking about setbacks. And he misled the board in saying we'd have a 10-foot setback, which he backed up on that and said it'd be a 12.5-foot setback. And I don't know if some of these things have...
12.5 on a corner, I believe. If it's a corner lot, it has to be 12.5.
See, that's where I'm getting conflicting stories from someone who should know what he's talking about if he works in the Planning and Zoning Department. You would think they would know what their own criteria is and not keep coming back and changing things on us as we go.
Well, it should be right in the code, and the code's on the
list. I understand that, sir. Okay. But also you have to understand, when we go to speak to someone, it's their profession to know exactly what's going on. This isn't rocket science. It's right on the code book, like you said. It's in front of them. This is a job. But yet he comes back and he changes it on us. And in front of the board, he gives us this 10-foot setback, and then he changes it and said, no, I was mistaken. Misleading the board in different ways. That's what I'm getting at, when he should already know about this.
Well, Randy, if what Rex left you, does that suit you and the other neighbors? I mean, that other access?
Sure. I don't see why not.
If he's agreed?
He would be actually meeting your code that's required by the county.
Right.
And he'd be coming through an area which he even authorized himself that he could do with no problem if we objected to his variance proposal. And obviously, everyone, as you've been hearing, objects. And so when he comes up with this different way in, I mean, sounds like to me it's a cut and dry issue.
Well, I can contact P&Z as soon as we get out of here and see what those time limits are and see if you've got that opportunity. But what I heard you say, Bob, is that if that's passed, then you got to go to Circuit Court, as far as you know, or maybe we could put you to work on that, huh?
I think I mentioned it to whoever came in last week, and mm-hmm. I mentioned it to you in front of them that there was an opportunity to
right.
motion to reconsider.
And it had to be done. But I believe Danny had stated that he was going to talk to them at a meeting, and since we were going to bring this back up today, to push that back and give us a bigger allowance on appealing, I believe is.
Okay. Well, we can check into it and see if that's available and work on it for you.
Because actually,
maybe the issue's somewhat resolved, hopefully.
I think what he's planning, he's like it was brought up before, he sold the access that he had. Mr. Grady is a real estate salesperson.
Right.
Is what he is. Once he sells property, he's out of it. Very few people that sell property stay into it to develop. They sell, they get out, they move on. And they're not anywhere to be found after that except selling another property.
And if that variance is in place, whoever buys the property could use that access rather than the other access.
Exactly. Exactly. And for him to get his foot in before these codes were changed, according to the paper, there's been some reestablishment on codes bridge codes.
You're talking about the road standards.
Road standards,
make that straight, yes.
Yes. And I feel that this was kind of pushed through prematurely through the board a little ahead of time and try to get in as soon as possible before these took place. And I don't feel that should have been the case. So there's a lot of issues here for a very small piece that he's trying to, for his own convenience, reduce this down to 32 feet when he's got perfectly other access. But he's trying to take advantage of something, and he knew he had it. When he bought that property, he knew what the codes were. He knew exactly what was going on. He's a real estate person.
But you didn't know until you got home and got the letter.
Exactly.
I mean, so nobody at that BOA meeting was aware that there's another access.
Not a thing. Mr. Grady did not bring that up either, I don't believe.
Okay.
He kind of held that back on everybody.
I certainly didn't hear it. So.
Right. That's what I'm getting at.
Do we have the right, Bob, to, because of that information and the timing, to have the BOA rehear the case?
I have to look at that. I mean, obviously, if it had been filed within 7 days, there would have been time, but we may...
I think, Josh, and you guys misunderstood me. I asked you if you had a problem with this situation to file it with the circuit court, to at least file it so that you would have some recourse. I think that's what I told you. Mm-hmm. And I think we were in the BOA discussion about talking about the variance. But I think that's what I asked you, Josh, and I'm not 100% positive. You called me on the phone and asked me, and I said I know that I told you that for sure. I said if you'll file it in circuit court, you at least have a process that you can take this to another level.
They can still file in circuit court. There might be the argument that they didn't exhaust their administrative remedies by filing the motion to reconsider. But generally, the circuit court is going to hear them even if they didn't file a motion to reconsider. But a motion to reconsider would be filed with the Board of Adjustments so that they could hear it.
Right. That's what I'm asking, if the commission has the right to allow something like that.
He'll have to look at it.
Yeah.
Okay. I know Mr. Grady, and he's a friend of mine. I'll just be truthful with you. I've known the Grady family. They're friends of mine. But when it comes to laws, rules, and regulations, I didn't run for this law, this job, to start bending those things.
I hope not.
So though, that's the reason that I would like to see it carried out for us to have a positive answer for the next situation that comes along.
Because basically what we're doing here, if we do allow that variance, he's got his foot in the door, or any developer's got their feet in the door now for that property back there. And even it also states in this letter about being commercial, about actually advantagement to us, the property that he actually had access for. So that's making money by going commercial.
Was he saying that if his
would
property
increase our value?
Right. Your property could go commercial and blah, blah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of all things that wasn't brought up here that really you didn't hear and that should have been brought up.
We'll get on the phone. You're all right with that?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Be with P&Z and see if we can get you can get back in and make that and then go from there and see
for
what.
For any votes to be taken, and I'd prefer for anything to be taken, all three of you be present. So
okay.
And all three know exactly what's going on.
Yes, Mr. Stroffus is at an ACO meeting. An ACO is a National Association of Counties. And we received some benefit from him being at those meetings through financial grants, information of things. So I'm sure he regrets not being here today with the crowd that was here. I myself, as I mentioned before, appreciate the fact that people get interested in what goes on in their county. They can disagree with me 100%, but I'm glad to see their face here, that they know what's going on in their county so they can make a decision as who they want to be their leaders.
Okay. Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
Alzora, anybody, just Josh, anybody else want to speak on that one?
I just had a couple points of clarification.
Come up here to the mic, please, so everybody can hear you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just had a couple of points of clarification, but if you can get a ruling on what Randy just presented, that may take precedence over anything that I was going to add today.
Won't need to mess with that. Okay.
Okay.
Great. All right. Thank you. Okay. We'll move on to elected official and department head updates. Anybody? Nope. Sir?
A recess. Whoa, get through here. We'll be fine.
I think you ought to recognize some family members.
Well,
or do you?
Well, my son and my wife. This is, I think, the first meeting that my son has attended. I'm sure he's. He mentioned something about politics this weekend, and I'm sure this is a fine education.
I'd like to recognize my bride. She showed up, and I appreciate y'all being here. Okay, we'll recess until whatever's next. I think a meeting with Bob or something.
Thank you.
I have to head over to a hearing at 11.
It's 5 till.